Chapter 64. As one of the biggest landowners in the district, and because of his war honours, Sean ranked high in the complicated social structure of Ladyburg. Therefore, preparations for Ruth's visit produced an epidemic of excitement and curiosity that affected the entire Ladyburg district. The flood of invitations he released sent women to their wardrobes and sewing baskets, while the outlying farmers begged accommodation from relatives and friends nearer town. Other leading members of the community, jealous of their social status, rode out to Lion Kop with offers to provide entertainment on those 3 days of the week which Sean had left empty. Reluctantly, Sean agreed. He had private plans for those 3 days. Ada and her girls were inundated with orders for new clothing. But they still made one afternoon free and came up to the Lion Kop homestead, armed with brooms and dusters and tins of polish. Sean and Dirk were driven from the house. They spent that afternoon riding over Sean's estate, looking for the best place to hold the big bushbuck shoot that would be the climax of the week. With a gang of his Zulus, Mbijani hacked down the jungle of undergrowth around the homestead and dug the barbecue pits. The village management board met in secret conclave, infected by the general excitement and armed with strict instructions from their wives. They voted unanimously for a civic reception of Ruth Friedman at the station and a formal ball that night. Dennis Peterson, who had Sean's consent to a barbecue on the night of Ruth's arrival, was placated with the promise that he would be allowed to make a short speech of welcome at the station. Sean called upon Ronnie Pye and was again surprised when Ronnie agreed cheerfully to a further loan of £1,000. Ronnie signed the cheque with the satisfied air of a spider putting the final thread into his web, and Sean left immediately for Peter Maritzburg to visit a jeweller. He returned home £500 poorer, with a packet in his breast pocket that contained a huge square-cut diamond set in a band of platinum. Dirk was at the station to meet him. Sean took one look at him and ordered him to the village barber. The night before Ruth's arrival, Sean and Imbijani fell upon Dirk in a surprise attack and dragged him protesting to the bathroom. Sean was astounded by the large quantities of foreign matter that he removed from Dirk's ears, and by the way in which Dirk's suntan dissolved so readily under an application of soap. The following morning, as her railway coach ground to a jerky halt in front of the station building, Ruth looked down on a mass of strangers surrounding the roped-off area in front of her. Only one family was not represented in the crowd, which included the young ladies and gentlemen of Ladyburg High School in their church clothes. She stood uncertainly on the balcony of the coach and heard the hum of appreciative comment and speculation. Ruth had relieved the plain black mourning with a wide ribbon of pink around the crown of her hat, pink gloves and gauzy pink veil, which shrouded her face in a misty and mysterious fashion. It was very effective. Convinced that there was some misunderstanding, Ruth was about to withdraw into the coach when she noticed a deputation approaching along the roped-off passageway. It was headed by Sean, and she recognised the thunderous scowl he wore as his expression of acute embarrassment. She felt an inexplicable urge to burst out laughing, but managed to keep it to a smile as Sean climbed up onto the balcony and took her hand. "Ruth, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't plan all this. Things just got a little out of control," he whispered hurriedly. Then he muttered an introduction to Dennis Peterson, who had ponderously mounted the steps behind him. Now Dennis turned to face the crowd and spread his arms in the gesture that Moses might have employed on his return from the mountain. "Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of Ladyburg, friends," he began. And from the way he said it, Sean knew he was good for another half hour. He glanced sideways at Ruth and saw that she was smiling. It came as a surprise to him when he realized she was enjoying herself. Sean relaxed a little. "Gives me great pleasure to welcome to our fair town this lovely lady, friend of one of our foremost..." Ruth's fingers found their way surreptitiously into Sean's hand, and Sean relaxed a little more. He saw the wide brim of Ada's hat standing out in the crowd, and he smiled at her. She replied with a nod of approval towards Ruth. By some curious twist of oratory, Dennis was now talking about the new water filtration plant and its benefit to the community. "But, my friends, this is only the first of a series of projects planned by your board." He paused significantly. "Hear, hear," Sean interjected loudly and clapped his hands. The applause was taken up by the crowd, and Sean stepped past Dennis to the rail of the balcony. "On behalf of Mrs. Friedman and myself, I thank you for your friendship and your hospitality." Then, leaving Dennis on the balcony, making helpless little movements with his hands and silently opening and closing his mouth, Sean spirited Ruth away, ran her through a rapid-fire series of introductions and handshakes, gathered Ada and Dirk, and got them all into the carriage. While Sean and Imbijani fussed with the luggage, Ruth and Ada settled their skirts and adjusted their hats before meeting each other's eyes again. "Although Sean warned me, I didn't expect you to be quite so lovely," Ada said. Flushing with pleasure and relief, Ruth leaned impulsively across to touch her arm. "I've been longing to meet you, Mrs. Courtney. If you promise to call me Ada, then I'll call you Ruth." Sean scrambled into the carriage, flustered and perspiring. "Let's get the hell out of here." That week was to be remembered for many years. The usual Christmas festivities paled into insignificance beside it. Matrons competed fiercely to provide food, mountains of it, prepared from their closely guarded recipe books. In between cooking, they conducted old feuds, began new ones, and worried about their daughters. The young bucks competed on the gymkhana and polo field, and then again on the dance floor. Dirk Courtney won the junior tent-pegging event. Then, against a visiting team from Pietermaritzburg College, he captained the school rugby team to an inglorious 30-0 defeat. The young ladies competed with equal ferocity, covering it with giggles and blushes. The success of their efforts was measured in the outbreak of betrothals and scandals during the week. The older men smiled indulgently until, fortified with bottled spirit, they discarded their dignity and capered and panted around the dance floor. There were three bouts of fisticuffs, but these were between old enemies, and none of them were really worth watching. Only one family held aloof from the festivities. There were many of the young ladies who missed Michael Courtney. During one of the infrequent lulls of the week, Sean managed to separate Ruth from Ada and take her out to the homestead at Lioncop. She moved silently through the empty rooms, appraising each with narrowed and thoughtful eyes, while Sean hovered anxiously behind her, certain that her silence was disapproval. In fact, Ruth was in ecstasy. A shell, a magnificent shell of a house, with no trace of another woman on it, waiting for her to bring it to life. She could imagine exactly the curtains she wanted, her Persian carpet sent down by Uncle Isaac from Pretoria, and now in storage, would look just right once she had the yellowwood floors polished to a gloss. The kitchens, of course, would have to be completely rebuilt, with a new double Aga stove. The bedroom... Unable to contain himself, Sean blurted out, "Well, do you like it?" She turned slowly to him, the mists of thought clearing from her eyes. "Oh, Sean, it's the most beautiful house in all the world." In this emotional moment, Sean put forward the proposition he had planned for that evening. "Ruth, will you marry me?" And Ruth, who had planned to hesitate and ask for a little time to consider, replied instantly, "Oh, yes, please." She was truly impressed with the ring.